and figure out a way to do that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Welcome to the final lesson for Barah Ministries in the year of our Lord 2014. I'm usually on vacation in this week of the year, so this is the missing lesson, the lesson where most pastors take time to look back at the year. I'm actually not a fan of looking backward, except at the Lord's Supper celebration, but this year, our Lord has presented the opportunity for us all to look back. So look back we will. We'll take a look back at our ministry, and it would be a good idea for us to take a look back at ourselves. This time of the year is a great time to look back on our own lives, to see if we can notice the challenges that the Lord brought forth in our lives this year and how we handled them. And as the Apostle Paul closes his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 13, verse 5, he invites such introspection. He says, "Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is indwelling you, unless indeed you fail the test? As believers who are in union with Christ, we are indwelled by Christ. And as Christians, we do well to regularly examine ourselves to see what God is doing in our lives as he fulfills his promise of Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus." Well, if you're like me, what you will see is weakness and repeated failure. All of us live in the delusion that we have some kind of human power. Yet our human power proves itself over and over again to be frail in the toughest situations in our lives. We easily faint in our souls. I often wish that I were free of the maladies that I call you to examine, not to lord it over you, but to be a fine example to you. But I claim no power of my own. And as I reflect, I am certainly no example. Christ is our example. Yet, as I look at my own life in reflection, I see the power of God doing his work in me. I stand frail, yet his power is strong. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7, Paul laments about his own weakness and glories in the source of his power. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations," and he's referring there to his visit to the third heaven, "for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, to keep me from becoming conceited, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself." God has given all of us a thorn in the flesh, which is a constant reminder of our weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 12:8, "And concerning this thorn in the flesh, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me." You see, we don't want to be weak. We prefer to be strong, and we certainly prefer to think of ourselves as self-sufficient. We are not. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And the Lord has said to me by way of reminder, my grace is sufficient for you. The sphere of grace that I have surrounded you with and covered you on all sides, top, bottom, back, front, is sufficient for you. For divine power is perfected in the presence of human weakness." And Paul, with a revelation, says, "Most gladly, therefore, I, Paul, will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ might dwell in me." I wonder how many of you this week took time to boast about your weaknesses. I wonder how many of you this week felt good about the fact that you are weak, realizing that you're in Christ, indwelled by Christ, and his power is sufficient for you. You see, in the midst of our human weakness, in the midst of our human failure, in the midst of our feelings of inadequacy, it is not our power that matters. It is the fact that we can remember to let God's power be our real power. But see, that's not how we really operate, is it? We're always wondering why it is that we're weak. We're always wondering why it is that we're frail. We're always wondering why it is that we faint in our souls, and we are hoping for that day when we're not going to feel that weakness. And that day is not coming, because our human power isn't good enough. Our human power is worthless. Our human power makes us helpless. Our human power makes us hopeless. But don't you remember that Christ is indwelling you lest you fail the test? Do you remember that your source of power is the fact that you're in Christ? That is our real power. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, in Revelation, I could have had a V8, Paul says, I'm well content with human weaknesses. I'm well content with insults. I'm well content with distresses. I'm well content with persecutions. I'm well content with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak in the human sense, then I am strong because of the divine power working in me. So as we take a look back today at this ministry and at our lives, let us remember that the power is indwelling us, the power of the risen Christ. Let's examine ourselves and let's ask ourselves, what kind of person is the Lord making me? What kind of person is the Lord making me? See, I know what kind of person you're making you. The kind of person that we're making ourselves is the deluded kind, the kind that thinks that we have some human power and that we have some human plan. But what kind of person is the Lord making us? Let us ask ourselves as a church, what kind of church is the Lord building here? Welcome to our year-end lesson. Let's begin our worship of the Lord in song with the opening song sung by June Murphy, In the Beginning.
In the beginning, which wasn't the beginning, Christ created, He perfectly created the heavens and the earth. To the universe gave birth. The angels sang together. Morning star shouted for joy when Christ created, when God the Son created the heavens and the earth. To the universe gave birth. Then the earth became formless and void. The earth became formless and void. Because Satan rebelled, all angels fell. Justice prevailed, a trial was held. All angels were jailed. Ice and darkness covered the earth. All angels became prisoners. The angels were offered. Yes, all were offered reconciliation, reconciliation. Two-thirds, yes, they did say. One-third said, no way. Then Satan accused, unjustly accused, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave him life, of being unfair. How can perfection be unfair? Satan questioned the judgment. Christ allowed the appeal. The Spirit restored the earth in 1 week. He sealed the Godhead's deal. For conflict resolution with the creation of man, giving choice from the fall. Reconciliation. He died so none would be lost. Gave his life on a cross. All who reject him, those who reject him, choose Satan's end. On self they depend. And for what they conspire? To the lake of fire? Yes, in the beginning, Christ created the heavens and the earth. He offers new birth.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful to you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for this year. Thanks for waking us up every day. Thanks for the blessings of tribulation, for the blessings of prosperity, and for just the right mixture of both. And thank you for your gracious provision of everything we need to thrive, everything we need to be content, everything we need to grow. We ask that you help us reflect on the year gone by with an accurate perspective, your perspective. And we ask that you help us to see your power in everything we have experienced. Help us to look ahead and to see where all of these experiences you have provided for us are leading us as you continue your divine good work in us that began in eternity past. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, what kind of church is the Lord building here? What kind of church is the Lord building here? Well, I'm not sure if you ever ask yourself that question. What kind of church is the Lord building here? But I certainly do. And I know one thing for sure. The Lord is not building the kind of church that I want. Amen. Barah Ministries is 7 years old in a couple of weeks, and I'm quite sure that this is not the church that I envisioned. It's much different, and it's much better. What kind of church is the Lord building here? The Lord is building the kind of church that he wants. And I am quite certain that it is better, a better church than I could ever imagine. I started this year with what seemed to be a simple question as directed by God the Holy Spirit. The question is, are you limited in your thinking? If in any area of your life your thinking is limited, I want you to know that those limited thoughts are not from the Lord. Do you remember that lesson back in January? Started with a very simple question. Well, as I look back on what God the Holy Spirit was asking us, in January 2014, at the start of our year, I feel a little bit like Robert De Niro in the movie Taxi Driver. Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Is God the Holy Spirit talking to me? You know that face De Niro gets? Kind of. Was that Marlon Brando? No, that wasn't Marlon Brando. This is Marlon Brando. Here's Marlon Brando. You want to see Marlon Brando? Brando. Buonasera. Buonasera. What have I done to make you treat me so disrespectful? If you had come to me as a friend, then these vermin who hurt your daughter would be suffering this very day. That's Marlon Brando. Yeah. Yeah, I can't get a clap for saying Acts. I can't get a clap for saying Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But I can get a clap for imitating Marlon Brando. I get it. The future of Barah Ministries, me, the actor. Yeah. So I was wondering, you know, like Robert De Niro did when the Holy Spirit said, are you limited in your thinking? You talking to me? Well, God the Holy Spirit was indeed talking to me. He was talking to you also, but he was definitely talking to me. And yes, my thinking was limited. Little did I imagine that our nomad congregation, that those days would be over for us. And a nomad, if for those of you who haven't taken the SAT yet, there's an SAT question right here. A nomad is a member of a tribe that has no permanent home, but moves about from place to place. And that's an accurate description of Barah Ministries, because in the last 7 years, we have been in seven different homes, at least seven different homes. And last year at this time, we were having our lessons in the Chandler Hilton Hotel. That was a nice hotel. I must admit, it's nice to have a Starbucks right outside the door of your church. But our nomad days ended in April when we moved into our new and now quite snazzy residence. At this time last year, did you see us moving into such a nice place? You know what I'm proudest of is my fingerprints aren't much on what has happened in this room. You know, there are people sitting in front of me who have moved here, who have stepped up and created what we see in front of us. That's awesome. That's a tremendous thing for a pastor not to be burdened with that, but to see the result of this is quite encouraging, and I want to thank you very much for that. But last year at this time, I did not see that we would be in a place as beautiful as this. When we moved into this place in April, if you think back to what it looked like then, did you see it coming together as it has? Did you see us having a world-class audio and video setup? See, I must admit, I didn't see the possibilities. I saw the limits. And I did not miss at all that fuzzy figure that was on all those videos from the past. Although I must admit that I'm not too fond of this perfectly razor-sharp image of the guy now so that people can see sweat beads on my head. But I saw limits. The Lord did not. Nor did the leaders of this congregation see limits. Personally, I saw limits as well. How about you? In the last year, did you think about all the unbelievable things that you would be doing this year, or did you see limits? Last year at this time, I didn't imagine that I would marry in the year 2014. As a matter of fact, I had a very intricate plan to put it off for as long as possible. I told my aspiring bride that I would not marry a woman with braces. Well, that didn't work. And as she likes to say, and this is the last time this story is ever going to be told anywhere, you know, she said, you want a little salt with your crow? Okay. I didn't imagine that I would have a new family. I didn't imagine that I would have a beautiful and loving Labrador Retriever living in my home. And I didn't imagine that my former family would no longer be a part of my life. In fact, all of those things were quite a surprise. As you reflect on your circumstances a year ago, if you can imagine and think back, what were you thinking then? This is the same thing I'll be asking you next year. You know, what are you thinking today about what the next year is going to be like for you? Where do you see yourself in a year? And a year ago, where did you see yourself today? What has the Lord done for you in that time that you never saw coming? I have many things to point to. If I were to describe the 2014 journey of Barah Ministries in a word, the word I would use is shaken. I never saw that coming. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27 says, "This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, creature things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." That's the beautiful thing about our God, that He is always shaking us, much to our chagrin. We don't like being shaken. This Hebrews chapter 12 passage at the 27th verse indicates the clarity of God's plan. There are those things that can be shaken, and there are those things that cannot be shaken. There are those people who can be shaken, and there are those people who cannot be shaken. There are things that remain forever. One day the earth and the universe in which we are now living will be shaken. And those who rejected a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in their lifetime will be shaken. They will find no place for them to live. And those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ in their lifetime will remain. Well, thinking back to this time last year, if you had asked me who would be missing from the empty seats which sit before me right now, I would have never seen the empty seats that are empty coming. I would have never predicted that the people who left Barah Ministries would be the ones who left. God shook Barah Ministries, and those who were not of Barah Ministries fell out. And it's funny, the people who are not of Barah Ministries, when they shake out, if you say anything about that fact, and that is a fact, if you're here, you're here because you want to be. And if you're not here, you're not here because you don't want to be. But if you say anything about that, you know, they get offended. You know, why would you say something like that? Well, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you report the truth? Did you see that coming? Because I sure didn't. Why? Because my thinking was limited. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 and 19 say this: "For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it." This was Paul talking about the Corinthian church in his first letter. 1 Corinthians 11, 19, "For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident to you." Paul said in Romans chapter 9, "All Israel is not Israel. All racial Jews are not spiritual Jews," and that is certainly the case here. You know, when a congregation is shaken, you see who is of Barah Ministries and who is not. But I can remember well coming into our church for the first lesson last year, knowing full well that there were divisions in the church. I could feel them. I didn't know where they were exactly, but I knew all the things that were a source of irritation to me. I never expected how close to me those divisions were. I didn't enjoy coming into the tension that existed within the church. Well, a year later, I don't feel the tension. I feel unity. It's actually a delight to come here. And if divisions exist now, and they may very well, you are doing a marvelous job of hiding them. You've got me completely fooled. I can also say that I never expected to see some of the faces that are sitting here today. I never expected to see some of the faces that are filling the seats. And this is a year for me where I became very aware that I am here for the people who want to be here, and I am not at all here for the people who don't want to be here. I have never had success in my life converting unbelief. Try as I might, and believe me, I am one of the most persuasive, and in the absence of persuasion, working one of the most coercive people that you will ever meet. But try as I might, I have not been effective at coercing free will. So I've given up the practice. I remain grateful for unbelief, but my focus is on empowering faith. And I scratch my head and wonder, why did it take 7 years of being a pastor to figure that out? Why did it take, you know, I've been teaching since 1999, so why did it take 15 years to figure that out? Although I am still disgusted by unbelief when I see it, perhaps this is the year when the Lord will engineer that malady out of my character. I see him working on this in me as well. This is the year that I became aware that my focus as a pastor is not to teach the Word of God from my own viewpoint. Rather, it is to teach the Word of God from his viewpoint. I have given you the illustration of the Jesus statue in Rio de Janeiro. When we crawl up into that statue and look out at the world through Jesus' eyes, it's a radically different view. If you look at yourself as you see you, you have no choice but to be disgusted. If you look at yourself as the Lord Jesus Christ sees you, you should smile because he sees in you believers in Christ, saints, priests, ambassadors, holy and blameless, in union with Christ, righteous, absolutely righteous, justified, redeemed, reconciled, expiated, a whole host of gifts that have been directed to you. He sees you that way. Well, seeing life and the Word of God from God's perspective is a radically different view, and it has made my Bible study easier. It has made my Christian walk easier. It has made my life easier. And I hope it's done the same for you. When we can see life, when we can see ourselves as the Lord sees us, life is so much clearer and so much more fulfilling than it is when we are holding ourselves to standards we could never achieve. In 2008, Baram Ministries became a Christian church with an ordained pastor and an internet presence. And we began to proclaim our faith by preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, as Paul asks us to do in Romans 1:8. Bara is a Hebrew word. It means to produce something out of nothing. It means to speak something into being without the assistance of existing material. It is the materialization of a thought of God. It is the Word of God going forth as a command of his desire, as in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God barad the heavens and the earth. We use bara as a reference to God's creation of the soul. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "And God created, he barad, the soul of mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he barad him, male and female, he barad them." By studying the Word of God, we're allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to make something of the nothingness our human lives would be without him. That's lost on some people, that we would be nothing without our relationship with Jesus Christ. John 15:5, "I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the vine, the source, and you believers in Christ are the branches, the attachments. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. The branch cannot grow without the sap from the vine. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And that has double meaning. You can't do anything without me, and you're nothing without me. Without him, we would continue to be nomads, wandering aimlessly from location to location. Without him, when we're shaken, all of us would shake out. Without him, we would live life in our own viewpoint rather than in his viewpoint, and that never has quite the result we intend. Take a 5-minute break. my mic on? Awesome. Welcome back. What kind of church is the Lord building here is the question that we're entertaining today. And he's building a church with the ones who remain. He's building a church with the ones who are approved. The Lord does great things with willing hearts. The Lord honors dedicated service to one church. You know, that's the one thing that, as a pastor, that's the one thing that I scratch my head about the most, is how a church ends up being this pass-through place where people are always seeking and changing and seeking and discarding and changing, as opposed to finding some place and sticking with it and finding some place and contributing to it. Because the Lord honors dedicated service to one church. What kind of church is the Lord building here? The Lord is building a church that reflects his viewpoint of the world. The Lord is building a church that is settled, not nomadic. God is building the church that we want. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." You see, we know that the promises of God are a guarantee. He will give us the desires of our heart. And I wonder what the desires of your heart are for this church. You know, because I know how we are as human beings. We don't think that we're worthy of asking God for what we want. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny how we just adopt that goofy viewpoint? I'm worthless, and therefore I'm not going to ask God for anything. It's kind of goofy. When he says, anything you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Anything. Amen. Amen. Amen, Slurpee boy. Can I get an amen? Has anybody ever taught you how to wrestle? No, I'm going to teach you how to wrestle. Barah Ministries is not, nor will it likely be, a megachurch. And of course, that remains to be seen. Barah Ministries is not, nor will it likely be, a pop culture church following the latest marketing fad in Christianity. Barah Ministries is not, nor will it likely be, a church built on the charismatic personality of the pastor, for obvious reasons. Barah Ministries will be built on a set of constants from which we will not deviate. The first of those constants is relationship with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God, and he is at the center of this ministry. The other constant, the heart of a servant. Each one of us is into and all about obedience to the word of God. That's our aim. And then ministries. We look to serve others through active involvement. And that, honestly, a church is not a church without your active involvement. And I don't mean a church is not a church as a church. I mean a church is not a church to you unless you're doing something in that church that's directed toward other people. A reminder, by the way, that we will visit the vets today at 1:45 p.m. Please join us if you haven't ever done that, because it's amazing and it's fun and they look forward to seeing us. Now, as we test ourselves, we must ask ourselves the tough questions, both as a church and as individuals. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. So here are some questions for us as a church. As a church, are we reflecting the character and nature of our God? Are we reflecting the character and nature of our God? You know the nature of our God: justice, sovereignty, righteousness, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, love, immutability, veracity, and eternal life. Are we reflecting that? Is the truth of the Word of God being spoken from the pulpit? Now it is. It took us 5 years to get there. Is the truth we're hearing feeding us in such a way that we can apply it directly to the tribulations in our lives? I have no way of knowing how the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And if he is indeed speaking to you from this, are you hearing these words and then automatically connecting them to your life? Do you see applications? I don't know the answer to that question, so you have to tell me. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Are our leaders exercising leadership? You know, we introduced the idea this year of the leader-leader model rather than the leader-follower model. The leader-leader model is if you see something you want to do, do it. Don't wait for permission. Because if you're waiting for permission, you're probably going to get it. And so rather than having one person have all the ideas, have all the people have all the ideas and execute them. And so a lot of the things that you see here are not my ideas. They're ideas other people had that they executed. And that's amazing. Nobody told anybody to bring snacks. You know, I didn't say, you know, I have made an executive pastoral decision. We will have donuts every week. You know, I didn't make any decisions like that. But they're here. And fruit and other stuff that is available for us. People made those decisions. People made those contributions. Do our leaders have a vision? Well, I hope we communicated to you that we do. I certainly know what our vision is as a church. The gospel, preaching the gospel, teaching the word, and serving others. It's really easy. Are we growing as a church? I don't think we are. And I think there's a really good reason for that, although that reason isn't good enough. Because most church growth happens when people introduce their own network to their church. You have a personal network of people around you, and you introduce them to your church, and they come to church because they want to be with you probably more than they want to be at the church or with the pastor. But most of the people that are here moved here from someplace, and you don't have networks here. You know, if we were in Kansas, we would be kicking butt. But in Arizona, whole new ball game. And I want to encourage the non-resident congregation to start realizing that. To start realizing that you have something good in Barah Ministries and that you can create a network in your own area of people who are listening to the accurate teaching of the Word of God and who are growing together. Because that's how churches are formed today, and that's how they've always been formed. It isn't some magic personality of the pastor or some beautiful building or some unbelievable sermon. It's that people bring people that they know, and those people stay and build something together. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Are we changing? I'd say we are. Are we evangelizing? I don't think we are. Do we strive for God's excellence in everything we do? That's our mindset. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Does the congregation get along? In the 7 years that I've been at Barah Ministries, I don't think that a group of people has gotten along better than this group. We get along great, as far as I'm concerned. Does the congregation give generously? Yes, most definitely. And our giving is not going to be enough to pay for a building. Our current level of giving is not going to be enough to pay for a building. The building's $2 million, and it's going to take a $250,000 a year operating budget. So we're going to have to get help from outside of ourselves. And a group this small can command a request for $2 million and $250,000 a year. And this year, we're going to make some strides toward that. Because we can command that. We've got an architect that is world class who can help us command that. And we have a tight-knit group who can ask for that. And we've got a pastor who at least understands the selling process enough to be effective at influencing people's minds. So yeah, we're going to have to do that. And I think doing that, there are a lot of people who want to give money to churches and want to help them. And so we need to find those sources, take that money, and use it in our ministries to other people. And I want us to really make some gigantic moves in that way this year. Does the congregation welcome others with open arms? I think we're a very friendly church now. You know, and I did not think that at the beginning of last year. I wouldn't have wanted to invite a dog here, to tell you the absolute truth, because there was an attitude here. There was a snarly attitude here, not among everybody, but enough where it affected how we treated guests. Do we love each other unconditionally? I think that's one thing that's really important to me. I don't care what your faults are. I don't care what your mistakes are. I don't care where you fall down as a Christian, and I'm not going to be the one to come to you and tell you, you're falling down as a Christian. I'm going to be the one to reach out my hand and saying, if you've fallen down, take my hand, I'll help you up. You know, that's the attitude that I want to see reflected in the people here, because everybody here knows the faults of everybody else, and mine were the most visible. You know, I went to a Christmas party this year, one of my clients' Christmas parties, and I told one of the owners of the company that had invited me that I was married. He said, well, it's about time you stopped dating in sin. Like, yeah, whatever. I wanted to smack him, right? But, you know, what it said to me is, you know, your sins are visible. You know, you can think that you're hiding them from people, but they're visible. Well, good, because we want broken people here. We don't need any of those fixed people. We want only raggedy people. Now, we can certainly ask ourselves those questions as a church, but we have to ask ourselves those questions as individuals too. As a person, are you reflecting the character and nature of your God? Do you reflect unconditional love? Do you reflect immutability? Do you reflect justice and righteousness, the absolute righteousness that was credited to your account at the moment of salvation? Do you act like the child of a king? Is the truth of the Word of God a guiding force in your life? You know, if the only time you look at the studies that we do is on Sunday, you're missing it, because these lessons are designed to be able to be taken out into the world. And, you know, we have notes, and you can read them here, and you can mark them up here, but you can also take them with you during the week. And when you're doing nothing, when you're bored, which is quite frequent during the week, do you ever pull these out and just check the verses? Do you ever take the verses and go back to the context that the verse came from and see what is it that Paul is communicating, or what is it that John is communicating as a whole message to the people he was talking to, and what problem was he trying to solve in those congregations? Because every one of these letters is a response to a problem that's going on in a congregation. As you learn the Word of God, are you using God's power to conquer the tribulations of your life? And that starts with you asking yourself, you know, what are the tribulations in your life? What are the things that you're really struggling with? And you will notice that whatever those things are, they're repetitive. And they're repetitive for a reason. They're repetitive typically because we don't solve them. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Are you exercising personal leadership? What is leadership? Leadership is influencing results through the use of personal power. Influencing results through the use of personal power. How do you use your personal power to sway the thoughts and actions of others? When you see somebody doing something goofy that you know is not supportive of them, are you talking to them about it? Because I guarantee you this, it's easier to say nothing. Because how many times do you genuinely appreciate it when somebody comes to you and says, you know what, you're being less than you can be? Do you appreciate that? Or do you resent it? Because most people resent it. But then here's the thing. Who's going to tell you that stuff? Strangers aren't. They're going to keep quiet. But when the people that are closest to you, the people who love you, tell you things and say, hey, Yeah, you're retired, but you're bored. Yeah, you don't like your job right now. But what are you doing to prepare your field for the next job that God's got in store for you that's going to be totally fulfilling to you? What are you doing as a teenager to prepare you to be an adult? When you're operating in your household, do you do your share as a teammate? Or do you expect everybody to wait on you and then you go hide somewhere and don't interact with anybody? You know what I mean? Now, if you live with somebody, you're not going to be telling them that every 5 minutes. You think it, you feel it, but you're not going to be going and saying it to anybody. I used to do that. That's probably why I don't have it in my first family, because I was doing that all the time. Hey, we need to step it up here. Hey, we need to step it up here. People resent it. They don't like it. Even though you're doing it to edify them, they don't like it. So that's a funny catch-22, isn't it? I was just thinking this morning, how many times did my kids come home from school and tell me some insight they got from something that they learned at school? You know how many times? None. None. Because what insight are you going to tell me about how Tadpole walked up onto the out of the water and then turned into a gorilla and then turned into you? What insight are you going to tell me about that? Isn't that funny? Isn't it funny how we are as human beings? How unwilling we are to use our personal leadership to edify each other. And how when we do, how it's rejected. There's got to be something supernatural in that. Do you have a vision as a human being? Vision. How do you see yourself when you're in perfect condition? And by the way, perfect condition, but imminently flawed. Are you growing? Of course you'll say yes, but how are you making the assessment? Because all growth occurs when you move from something to something. So what are you moving from to? What's the catalyst that's getting you there, and how do you measure your success as you progress along the path? This really simple. If you don't know how to get to a location, I don't know how to get to the Veterans Hospital, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to punch a button that says, use my current location. I'm going to type in an address. It's going to type out a series of instructions, and I'm going to follow them one after another. That's how you grow. I do that enough times, and I'll figure out that I could do that again and again and again. That's exactly how all growth occurs. It has a starting point. It has an end point, and it has a series of steps. Are you growing, and at what? And it happens intentionally. It doesn't happen by accident. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Are you changing? Are you evangelizing? Are you telling people about the Christ and inviting them to eternal life, the resurrection life? Do you strive for God's excellence in everything you do? Those of you who are in school, do you settle for B's? Do you settle for C's? And then when your parents ask you, hey, why'd you get B's and C's? Well, see, what had happened was, what had happened is you didn't make the decision on the first day of school that you wanted an A and then go to the teacher and find out what it takes to get one and then do that. Because I went to some of the toughest schools there are. And I remember listening to the opening lecture of the teacher. And as I was walking out of the class, I would say, I ain't get a C in that class. This is going to be hard. And you know what I got? A C. You know how powerful that is? That's powerful. I said it and I did it. And then somebody suggested to me one time, Rory, why don't you just start off intending to get an A? And I said, you can do that? Yeah, you can do that. And I started doing that. You know what happened? I started getting all A's. It's amazing how that happens. That you make a decision to be excellent in everything you do, and you back it up with hard work, which always pays off. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Do you get along with family members? Sorry, sensitive subject in November and December. Do you do your part as a teammate? You know, that's the one thing that I don't think people really realize is how many teams they're on and how the people that are on their team are always watching what they do and then trying to decide whether what they do is equitable. You know, that's one of the reasons I love watching reality shows. I love watching The Amazing Race, and I love watching Survivor. And you can always see the people who know nothing about being teammates because the others are always complaining about them in the background. She doesn't ever go get water. She doesn't ever go get firewood. He doesn't ever do anything to build the tent. And they never say it to the person. They just vote them out. Beautiful. Do you promote unity in every situation that you're in? Do you love unconditionally? Well, we can certainly close the year with the question that opened it. Are you limited in your thinking? Because if in any area of your life your thinking is limited, I want you to know that those limited thoughts are not from the Lord. What kind of church is the Lord building here? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says that the Lord is building a church beyond our wildest dreams because of Him, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. What power? The indwelling of Christ and His omnipotence dwells in you. What excuse do you have for not performing at the highest level when the Savior of the universe is indwelling you? Could it be that your thinking is so powerful and so limiting that you're getting exactly what you expect and it's not nearly what you're capable of? Because that's what's true most of the time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says that this will be a church powered and blessed by the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We certainly have seen that this year, because we never expected to see what we look at with our eyes right now. What kind of church is the Lord building here? The Lord is building an entity that is a much different entity than the world system that we live in daily. He is building an entity that is way above the world. He is building an entity that is unrecognizable to the world. See, when you come in here, you should not try to bring the world in here. You should realize that you have been elevated when you come here to a completely different level of thought, that you're being asked to perform to a completely different level of expectations. You're being asked, when you're hurt badly, to love unconditionally just like Christ did. Men, you're being asked to love your wives. Those of you who are married are being asked to love your wives with a sacrificial love. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up as a substitute for her. For years. Wives, you're asked to be in submission to your own husbands, just like you're in submission to the Lord. Are you doing that? Are you fulfilling the request that's being made of you? Ephesians beginning chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. The Lord gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. The Lord gave all of us spiritual gifts. For what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. For the building up of the body of Christ. That's what a church is, the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, and until we all attain to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. God is holding you to a standard of excellence. He is expecting from you that you reflect exactly who He is in every interaction that you have in this life. Ephesians 4:14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness of deceitful scheming. We're to grow up, not to be children. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in unconditional love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in unconditional love. What does that say in essence? It says, you're part of a body. Some of you are the baby toe, always getting stubbed. Some of you are the armpit, hairy and smelly. Some of you are the hands. Some of you are the heart. Some of you are the soul. What kind of church is the Lord building here? One that where everyone comes together with an individual part and melds it into a whole that is bigger and more effective than any of us could be alone. The Lord is building a church that reflects Him in every way. The Lord is building a church that operates this way, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to unconditional love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day is drawing near. The day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and pluck His believers off the earth. But Paul said that too, didn't he? Paul said that 2014 years ago, that the day is drawing near. And 2014 years later, I'm saying to you, the day is drawing near. It means that this day is imminent. If I had my way, which I don't, I would have you remember how encouraging you can be to someone else. You know, there are people who listen to Barah Ministries here in town, for example, who could be here, but who always have something else to do on Sunday. Do you think that's a coincidence? Because I don't. There are people who want to come here, but their work takes them away on Sunday. You know, whatever people used to come to Barah Ministries, they would say, but I work, I just got a new job. I say, yeah, well, you're going to be working on Sunday. I guarantee it. There's not going to be anything for you during the week, but there's going to be everything for you on Sunday. It's going to be, you're going to get triple time on Sunday. Because that's how the world is, keeping you as far away from the truth of the Word of God as possible. And so if you don't do something to change that, it won't change. If I had my way, which I don't, I'd have you remember how encouraging you can be to someone else, how encouraging a church is for others. You know, you don't come just for yourself. You come for others. How edifying is it that the people who aren't in the seats, who are part of this congregation, are in those seats with their families? I don't think we think about how edifying that can be because we're too self-absorbed a lot of times. I encourage you to keep coming. I encourage you to bring your friends here. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to be your pastor, for putting up with my growing pains, and for all the things that you do to edify me with your contributions, with your hard work, and with your friendship. And I hope that the year 2015 is the happiest new year you ever have, and that 16 is even happier than that, and 17 is even happier than that, and I hope I'm here to enjoy it with you. Now, the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when God makes a promise, it's a guarantee. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way to salvation. I am the truth of the Word of God, and I am the resurrection life, the Zoe life, the eternal life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, the Zoe life, the resurrection life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. Closing song, all because you wanted to.
You're God Almighty, your word is the air I breathe. You're my salvation, you died to set me free. Your love's unconditional, unlike the love of man. Holy too, all because you want. chose to endure the cross because you wanted to.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for the year. Thank you for the days that you've allotted to us, and thanks for letting those add up to weeks, and for the weeks to add up to months, and the months to add up to years, and the years to add up to decades. And we thank you for all of the experiences that you provide us in that time that you've allotted us so that you can keep on perfecting us and keep on helping us learn. And I pray that all those who are at the other end of this message take full advantage of the gracious life that you've given, the salvation offer that you've given, that they reach out and embrace their lives and look to always put themselves in a position of discomfort for growth, just like you want us to. I pray that you continue to shape messages from this pulpit that are based on the truth and that are an accurate reflection of your viewpoint, of your unconditional love, of your glorious person, of your lucid thinking, of your impeccable work and your magnificent essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening. Thank you. Elvis has left the building.